The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hey, this is Greg Conroy. I'm bringing you the Funny Pages, which is also brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Okay, let's kick it off. Hi and Lois. Chip, the teenager, is walking with a young lady who has long blonde hair and is wearing a stocking cap. They are bundled against the cold and a snowstorm is underway. Chip, hey, I saw your picture on Instagram. The young lady, I took those at the beach last summer. Chip, you look different. Aw, Chip. So smooth. Beetle Bailey. Beetle is talking in the first frame. Hey, Sarge, could I try some of those chips? And a voice from off frame replies, no. The second frame shows Sarge in bed with Otto, his dog. Sarge and Otto are both in pajamas. Sarge and Otto are both reaching into the same bag of chips. And as chips are flying out of the bag because they are eating so fast, Sarge replies, sorry, that would be unsanitary. Family Circus. The kids are all playing with their toys while Dolly is looking at her dollhouse. Jeffy's playing with toy cars. This is all taking place, by the way, on the dining room table, which is covered in miniature cars and toy buildings. Daddy approaches the room while holding a newspaper. Barfy and Sam seem surprised how busy the dining room is. Mommy announces, well, I guess we'll eat in the kitchen because I think the dining room table's been rezoned. Zits. Dad is talking with Jeremy as he's looking at a piece of paper that just came in the mail. Jeremy is next to him while eating an apple, and Jeremy asks, what's that? Dad replies, results of my physical. Dad continues, I need to lower my cholesterol. Jeremy, then you should stop yelling at me. Dad, that's blood pressure, but thanks for your concern. Speed bump. There's a fellow sitting at a computer laptop, and on the screen is a large photo of a duck surrounded by various smaller photos of the same pictures of the duck. The fellow is wearing headphones while talking to someone. He remarks, oh, nice. Now his screenshot is big and the others are all over the screen. The fellow continues, isn't there a button I can press that puts all my ducks in a row? Ha, ha, ha. Non sequitur. There's a middle-aged couple sitting on a sofa looking at their large screen TV. They have a cat who is watching them through the doorway. The man is holding a remote in his hand while pointing it at the TV. The text box reads, the mixed metaphor marriage. The wife is saying, the bloom is off the rose. The fat lady is about to sing, and the remote is going to hit the fan if you don't stop clicking through those channels. Marmaduke. A man, presumably the next-door neighbor, is standing at the fence looking over into Marmaduke's yard. Meanwhile, the big dog is barking up a storm. Bark, bark, bark. As the man replies, saying it louder does not help me understand you. Heart of the city. The mom has her coat on as if she's ready to go somewhere. Her young daughter, Heart, announces, hey, Mom, I think I'm feeling pretty good today. Mom replies, well, that's great. Feeling good enough to head back to school? The daughter, I said pretty good, not crazy good. Drabble. Ralph is watching Wally the wiener dog eating food from Oogie the cat's food dish. Ralph, hey, don't eat the cat food. Ralph and Wally are then at the front door while Wally's barking at the front door. Honeybun shouts, hey, quit barking. In the next frame, while Wally is going through the kitchen trash can, Ralph shouts, hey, stop. In the final frame, Wally smiles and he thinks to himself, I must be in my heyday. Ziggy. The little guy is in the psychiatrist's chair talking to the psychiatrist, who is telling him, Maybe you should stop blaming your cartoonist for everything that happens to you and take some responsibility for your life. Duplex. Eno Camino walks into the boss's office and tells the boss, "Boss, do I have a chance of career advancement here?" The boss, "If you work long, hard hours, sure." Eno thinks about that and then replies, "May I suggest a raffle drawing instead?" The boss, "Get out." Lola. Harry, Lola's boyfriend, and Lola herself walk into a restaurant. Lola remarks, "Wow, Harry, this is a fancy joint." Harry, "Well, nothing is too good for my special lady." In the final frame, they're sitting at a table, and they're both looking at the menu. Harry finally remarks, "Except everything on the right side of the menu." Lola, "Uh-huh." Whoops, reality check. Argyle sweater. There's a man in an easy chair reading a newspaper, and from the other room someone shouts, "Honey, come quick." She continues, "I think the baby is moving." In the final frame, there's a baby in a diaper filling up some boxes with clothes, and Mom is standing there looking at the baby while the husband seems befuddled. We thought it was some other kind of moving. Other coast. On the TV screen, there's a man holding a fake check for $10 million. The text reads, "The winner of the lottery jackpot proudly displays a check for $10 million. In the second frame, Coco and his owner are watching the TV, and the owner remarks, "Think of all the things I could do with that kind of money. I'd buy a big yacht, maybe a ski chalet, a Rolls Royce, a private jet, a football team, a racehorse." Coco has been listening to this and is now thinking, "I'd rescue every animal from every shelter." Aww. Blondie. Two gentlemen are dressed identically. They apparently are twins who look exactly the same. They are seated together at the small customer table talking to Blondie at her catering business. The one fellow on the left announces, "Since we're twins, we want to throw twin birthday parties." His twin replies, "That's right, and we want twin cakes." Then the first twin continues, "We want twin decorations." And the second chimes in, "And twin menus." Then Blondie announces, "Well, that's perfect." Then she continues, "I'm guessing you want twin discounts, too?" The two of them answer simultaneously, "Bingo!" Dustin. Ed, Dustin's father, and grandfather Kudlik are playing a game of chess. Ed looks down at the board and announces, "It's your move, Dad." Grandpa looks up, "Oh, yeah." As Grandpa says that, he turns sideways in his chair and puts his hand under his chin and starts daydreaming. Ed, "I was talking about the game." Sally Forth. The text box reads, "How to beat the winter doldrums. Number 6, take a break from the news." Ted, Sally, and Hillary are all sitting on the couch on a wintry day. Ted and Sally are enjoying hot cocoa and some cookies under some blankets. Ted, "Ah, this is nice." Sally takes a sip. "Oh, this is very nice." Hillary is holding two remote controls while wearing a virtual reality headset. She's waving her arms around furiously, shouting, "Ah, how did this knife-wielding bear even get in the house in this game? Does it also wield keys? How did this lion get in here?" Weird. Pearls before swine. Pig and Rat are sitting at the counter enjoying some coffee. Pig is holding a box of candy. There are two chocolates in front of him. Rat, "What are you eating, Pig?" While still chewing, Pig replies, "All these chocolate candies with a tasty filling are made by Islamic fundamentalists in Afghanistan." Rat, "What are they called?" Pig, "Talabonbons." In the final frame, Rat is standing on the desk of the artist Stephen Pestis, while next to him stands a man wearing a turban with a long white beard. The man, "American humor bad." Rat comments, no, just his." And with that, Rat points to Steve, who illustrates his comic strip. Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is sitting with her girlfriend on a park bench. It's a nice summer day. Her friend remarks, "Old man Perkins married an 18-year-old. Mother Goose looks up with a surprised look on her face. She replies, "Oh, dear." Her friend adds, "He gave her pearls as a wedding gift." Mother Goose grits her teeth as she responds, That's nice. What did she give him? The friend replies, the mumps. Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is sitting at the breakfast table enjoying a cup of coffee. Mammoth, the sheep, enters limping. Mammoth holds up his foot. I stubbed my toe really bad getting out of bed this morning. I think I'll need to stay off my feet the rest of the day. Mammoth turns and limps into the living room. Cobb rolls his eyes. Mammoth sits in front of the television, shoveling a bowl of chips into his mouth. I still like to go through the justification thing just to keep myself fresh. Pickles. Grandpa is sitting on the couch next to their dog, Roscoe. Grandma is standing behind the couch talking to Grandpa. You look like you're thinking about something. Grandpa looks up. Yeah, life. It's kind of sad. We all have to live with the difference between what we are and what we could have been. Grandma, like you're a couch potato and you could have been a potato Lyonnaise with lemon? Grandpa, yep. Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, Oyster Bay. A group of three mermaids are sitting on a large rock surrounded by water. There's a large bowl of oysters on one end of the rock. One of the mermaids is holding a plate, and the other has a large knife. The third mermaid is talking to one of the clams in her hand. No, seriously, how are you? The mermaid holding the plate turns to the one holding the knife and instructs, put the knife away. They're opening up to her. Macanudo. A group of penguins are scattered around a field in Antarctica. They are all standing in shoulder-deep snow. Each wears a 2-foot-tall pile of snow on their head, like a furry Russian cap. The one turns to another and explains, brain freeze. Dilbert. The pointy-haired boss is holding a meeting of his employees. He points to the woman next to him and introduces her. Everyone, meet my new hire, Diona Hill. She always gets her way because she's willing to die on any hill. Dilbert, who is sitting next to the boss, turns to him and accuses, that sounds subliminal. Diona, seated on the other side of the boss, screams, apologize, I will hunt you down at the end of time. Baby blues. Daryl is in the grocery store pushing a grocery cart. Wren is sitting in the child seat. The cart is filled with large bags of chips. The manager comes up to Daryl, asking, Daryl McPherson? Daryl answers, yes. The manager sticks out his hand to Daryl and instructs, your wife called ahead, hand over the shopping list. You're on a no-improvising watch. The manager grabs the bags of chips out of his cart. Daryl tries to defend himself. It wasn't me, he points at Wren. The kid talked me into it. Sure, throw her under the bus. Just a baby. Garfield. The great feline is sitting alone at a table. From off-frame, John shouts, Garfield! John comes in. I'm home. Garfield smiles. Good. With that, Garfield turns his body to face away from John as he's thinking, I've been waiting all day to ignore you. Mutts. Earl the dog and Mooch the cat are chatting with a groundhog who is poking his head out of his hole. Mooch, Lamont, do you ever experience post-holiday depression? The groundhog, well, Mooch, for me, every day is Groundhog Day. He then disappears into his den. High and Lois. We're outside of Thirsty and Irma's house. They are High and Lois's neighbors. A snow-covered car is in their driveway as its engine starts. Vroom. Through the window are silhouettes of Irma and Lois. Irma points out the window and remarks, I can start my car remotely and it will warm up. In the next frame, we are inside as Irma is pointing the same car remote at her husband, who's asleep on a recliner while snoring loudly. Irma, too bad it doesn't work on him. Beetle Bailey. Sarge is making a funny face while slapping his hand over his eyes and shouting, Ah! Beetle is sitting next to him at the ice cream counter. He's enjoying his chocolate ice cream sundae. Beetle comments, How does a guy with no brains get brain freeze so often? Sarge growls and takes a bite of his ice cream and complains, Shut up and eat your ice cream. Family Circus. The family is sitting at the dining room table enjoying their dinner. Billy has a plate of food, including some mashed potatoes. Daddy is holding a ladle of gravy over the top of his son's dish. Billy pipes up, "No gravy for me. I'd like mine blank." Zits. Jeremy is putting on his coat, getting ready for school. Mom asks, "Is your bed made?" Jeremy heads to his room. "I'll check." He opens the door and is confronted by piles of clothes, books, dishes, guitars, old boxes, leftover pizzas, and basketballs. The entire room is filled waist-high with junk. Jeremy comes back to his mother as she asks, "Well?" Jeremy replies, "Insufficient data." I think not. Speed bump. A family has been shipwrecked on a very tiny island that consists of a sandy beach with a palm tree at its center. The husband has climbed up the palm tree to pick coconuts. Down on the ground, his wife is shouting as their son points mightily at the coconuts far above him. The mother shouts, "No, he wants the other one. No, no, not that one. No, no, to your right. No, oh, above that one." Bizarro. Inside a tattoo shop, a tattoo artist, wearing a do-rag and a sleeveless tank top to show off the tattoos on his arms, is standing behind a counter in front of a customer. The customer, who is not wearing a shirt, has a tattoo on his chest, "Born to Raise Hell." The customer requests, "I've been accepted to law school. Can you change hell to objections?" Non sequitur. The devil is wearing a red cloak. He sports horns on his head and a pointed tail. Well, behind. He is standing by a large billboard that reads, "Welcome to Hell." It is located at the bottom of a sewer pipe. Toxic liquid and other material is dribbling out the end of the pipe. On the floor around him are various skulls and bones. Behind him are the flames of hell. The devil is angrily watching a man who is dressed in casual clothes walking away from the sign, carrying a scissors and a tape dispenser. A large piece of paper that reads "Heck" has been taped across the word "Hell" on that sign. The caption reads, "Censors in the afterlife." Duplex. Eno Camino is sitting in his underwear on the examination table of a doctor's office. The doctor is standing next to him while holding an x-ray. The physician, "The x-ray of your spine shows you use it too much. You need to straighten it out." Eno, "On it. I'll try to lie down more." Marmaduke. Barbie, the little girl who lives with Marmaduke, and her girlfriend are playing hide-and-seek with the big dog. They're standing under the limbs of a large tree. The foliage of the tree is hiding Marmaduke, who is sitting on one of the branches. His nose pokes out through the leaves. Sally looks high and low. Oh, where could Marmaduke be? We can't see him anymore." Her girlfriend next to her giggles. Heart of the City. The little girl named Heart has just had her wisdom teeth removed. One of her school friends comments, "Hey, Heart, looks like your face is all back to normal." Heart puts her hands up to her cheeks. "Yeah, it was a pretty weird experience getting those teeth pulled and having my head blow up like a balloon." She puffs out her cheeks to demonstrate. Her school friend holds out his hands wide and replies, "I thought your head was giant to begin with." Heart holds up her fists and glares at the boy while warning him, "You're lucky my fist reflexes still aren't 100%. Drabble. Ralph and his wife, Honeybunch, are talking at the breakfast table. Ralph, "Honeybunch, if you were snoring ever so lightly last night, would you want me to tell you?" Honeybunch, "Well, it depends. How long might I have been lightly snoring?" Ralph smiles sheepishly. "I don't know. I finally went out and slept in the car." He pulls the newspaper up to hide his face. Lola. Sammy, Lola's grandson, and his girlfriend, Leanne, are dressed for the weather, taking a walk in the snow. Leanne, "Samuel, if we were to have a relationship, you need to open up. Share your deepest feelings. What are you thinking this very second?" Sammy pauses for a minute and then replies, "I think my snot's frozen." Leanne huffs and turns to continue their walk. She mutters, "Perfect." I think my snot's frozen. Ziggy. Our diminutive friend has received a repair bill from his car mechanic. The mechanic explains to Ziggy, The extra $200 is because that funny noise turned out to be funny peculiar instead of funny haha. Other Coast. A friend of Coco, Sakura the dog, is running through a dog agility course. As she comes flying out of a tube, the announcer explains, "It's a perfect exit from the Tunnel of Doom." But in the next frame, the small dog dodges another element of the course. The announcer, "Oh no, she has missed the tilting board of terror completely." Later at home, Coco asks Sakura, "You failed the course, but you still got a biscuit?" Sakura, "Well, there's no such thing as losers anymore. Everyone gets a biscuit." Blondie. Dagwood is sitting on a chair in his living room reading a newspaper. Elmo, the ubiquitous neighbor kid, is lying on the floor writing something in a notebook. On the other side of the chair, Daisy, the family dog, is asleep at Dagwood's feet. Elmo, "Mr. B, I have an idea for a cool children's book." Dagwood, "What's your idea, Elmo?" Elmo, "It's about a kid who writes a bestseller, makes a quick million, quits school, and retires really, really early." Elmo looks up at Dagwood and explains, "It's loosely based on myself, Mr. B." Dagwood, "Sounds like a bestseller to me, Elmo." Dilbert, we're in the conference room where there's a colleague wearing a yellow shirt and sporting a goatee. Dilbert is sitting across from him at the conference table. Dilbert, "Now that I have demolished your argument with my superior logic, what will you do?" The colleague puts his finger up to his cheek like he's thinking, and Dilbert continues, "I see an analogy for me. Don't do it. Don't you dare." The colleague replies, "Okay, I won't use an analogy." Dilbert says, "Good." The colleague comes back with, "How about an example instead of an analogy?" Dilbert, "Okay." The colleague, "What if a beer tried to make popcorn in the vacuum of space?" Dilbert is visibly becoming upset. Dilbert, "Again, that's an analogy and has nothing to do with what we're discussing." The man points at Dilbert and asks, "Why can't you just admit you're wrong?" With that, Dilbert's head explodes. It's the first time I've ever seen him do that. Baby Blues. In the first frame, Hammy is outside throwing hand axes at a red and white target with concentric circles. The target is leaning up against a fallen dead tree. In the next frame, Hammy is hiding in the bushes, aiming a slingshot at a furry creature who walks by Hammy's hiding place. The creature is some kind of a yeti. In the next frame, an alligator comes out of a swamp and attacks Hammy, who is dressed like Crocodile Dundee, while holding a whip and a chair. He's snapping the whip, which drives off the croc. In the next frame, Hammy is parachuting into a desert while wearing an aviator safety helmet. In the final frame, the family is all together in the living room while Wanda is talking. Ren and Zoe have their arms full of stuffed animals. Wanda asks, "Is everybody ready for the stuffed animal costume parade and puppet show?" Daryl looks at Hammy and Hammy replies, "Someday I should get to decide on a family activity." Pearls Before Swine. Neighbor Bob and another neighbor are standing next to a box with a sign that reads, "The Magic Box of Smartness." Neighbor Bob asks, "What's all this, bro?" Rat, who is dressed as a magician with a black silk top hat, tells them, "The Magic Box of Smartness." He continues, "Hop inside and watch as your intelligence grows." Neighbor Bob starts to crawl inside the box when his companion announces, "Let's do it, dude." Neighbor Bob adds, "Yeah, we'll be like way smart." Rat closes the lid and remarks, "All righty, now let magical rats seal you tightly inside." From inside the box, a voice remarks, "Hang on a second, there's a bunch of stuff in here." Rat, "Oh, yeah, those are books." He continues, "When you're done reading them, I'll toss in more." In the final frame, Goat approaches and asks, "So it's not so much magic as it is education." Rat, "These are desperate times." A voice from inside the box asks, "Hey, how do you open a book?" Non sequitur. Lucy, the imaginary pony friend that Danae hangs out with, is sauntering by through the snow with Danae in the saddle. But Danae has a little sniffle. It's cold, so she's wearing a winter coat. So she reaches in her pocket for a tissue and sneezes into the tissue. Achoo! Danae blows her nose. Honk! Then she smiles. In the next frame, as Lucy is hopping through the snow, Danae announces, "That tissue has been in my pocket since last winter, and it's still good enough to keep using." Lucy, "You sound like an ad on TV." Danae becomes bright-faced and announces, "Lucy, you're a genius." Standing on top of Lucy, Danae announces, "The tissue company will probably pay big bucks for an endorsement like this." Lucy, "Great. Which tissue company is it?" There's another close-up of Danae's face as her smile fades and becomes a frown. And once again, details are the ink stain on my big picture. She sniffles again as Lucy walks her slowly home. Mutz. One big frame. It's a beautiful snowy day, complete with a blue sky. It is snowing quite hard. In the center of this is a giant snow sculpture of Mooch, several feet high. He is standing in a heroic pose with his paws on his hips, and there's a young kid creating it with another child nearby, creating his own traditional snowman. Mooch looks at Earl, the dog, and announces, "I commissioned it." Foxtrot. Jason, the youngest of the Fox family, is in front of his computer with his older brother Peter, the teenager, looking over his shoulder. Peter tells Jason, "Move it. I need to use the computer." Jason, "Too bad. I was here first." Peter, "You're just playing games. I have an English paper due tomorrow, a history paper due tomorrow, and a physics lab report due in 2 days. Jason walks away. "It's fine." In the final frame, Peter sits at the computer, and he's now playing video games. "Also, I have games I want to play." Pickles. Grandma and Grandpa are in their kitchen, and they're looking at their refrigerator. There are little coupons taped on the front of the refrigerator door. "What happened here, Earl?" He replies, "Sorry, I was goofing around with Nelson, and we put a dent in the fridge door." Sure enough, a small dent is evident on the door. Grandma, "That's okay, I can fix it." Grandpa, "How?" Grandma replies, "Easy, a coupon and a magnet." Grandpa, "You mean all those magnets and coupons on the fridge are..." As she uses the magnet to hold a coupon on top of the new dent, Grandma explains, "Yeah, dent cover-uppers." You're listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy, and this is brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Sally Forth. In the title frame, Sally and Ted are sitting at the kitchen table, while Sally is sipping hot cocoa from a mug, and she's shivering. Ted, "Isn't that your third hot..." She interrupts, "Fifth hot cocoa. I'm freezing. Also, I had to use the marshmallows from that cereal you promised you would no longer buy." She continues, "I don't care what the calendar says, February always feels like the longest month of the year. It's gray, it's cold, it's relentless, and it needs to end." Ted, "Well, we've got 1 week done already." Sally, "And that felt like forever. I need spring now." Ted, "But spring doesn't start for another month and a half, and even then it doesn't really start to feel like spring for another month after that. I'm afraid we're just going to have to get through this." Sally, "You're right." As she sips some more, she's still shivering. In the final frame, Ted points out, "Unless we sleep through it, courtesy of cryogenics." Sally, "I like where you're going with this. But not being scientists, we will never get the ice cube beer cooler ratio just right." Hi and Lois. Trixie, the baby, is looking out the window, which is frosted by the cold weather. Trixie's thinking, "Hey, Mr. Thurston is back from the brown paper bag store." Then she discovers Ditto walking through the snow. There's Ditto coming home from basketball practice. And then Dot's walking along the sidewalk, and Trixie continues to think, "Dot is home from Girl Scouts." And when Chip walks in the house, she's behind the sofa, but she sees Chip, and she notices Chip is home from his after-school job. The door opens, and in walks Hi. Trixie continues, "And Daddy's home from work." In the final frame, Trixie looks at us and remarks, "Someday I'll be coming home from something. Hopefully a trip to Paris." That's so cute. Family Circus. Grandma lifts Jeffy up on her lap. Grandma, "You finished your breakfast, right, Jeffy?" Jeffy, "Yes, Grandma." Grandma, "I'll bet you had some cereal and orange juice. Then you had an egg and chocolate milk, and then some toast with strawberry jam." A close-up of Jeffy's face in the final frame shows all his food choices. Jeffy, "Mommy, how did Grandma know what I had for breakfast?" Beetle Peely. Sarge is sitting at his desk, reading a piece of paper, and without looking up, he announces, "Don't even ask me. No, you can't have a pass." In the second frame, Beetle is standing next to Sarge's desk while holding a plate of cookies. He asks, "Was I too obvious?" Sarge, "Why should I give you a pass to town?" Beetle, "Because I have a date with Miss Buxley." Sarge mulls that over and replies, "This'll cost you." Beetle, "I don't care, whatever it takes." In the next frame, Beetle is begging him. In the final frame, Miss Buxley and Beetle are walking on the sidewalk, heading into a fancy French restaurant. Behind them are Sarge and his girlfriend, Miss Louise Lug. Sarge, "Dinner's on Beetle tonight." Miss Buxley asks Beetle, "How did you agree to this?" Beetle replies, Sarge drives a hard bargain. Rhymes with orange. We're in a scientist's lab where there are beakers of liquid being heated by Bunsen burners, as well as other lab-type items. We also note that the laboratory is in a castle with a flight of stairs going up, indicating this is in a dungeon. In the middle of the large workbench is a large glass jar containing a human head suspended in liquid. In addition, there's a man who's dressed like a monk in brown robes peering at the jar. The head inside the jar remarks, I used to feel like I was so different, but since Zoom came along, I'm a disembodied head like everyone else. Jesus. Blondie. Dagwood is in the midst of a snowstorm. Large snowflakes are really coming down. He is shoveling snow off the sidewalk, and he announces, I can't remember a snowstorm being this intense around here. He continues to pick up the snow with the snow shovel and adds, I'm not sure where the sidewalk even ends. He stops momentarily, leans on the shovel, and looks up at the snow. Oh my gosh, it just keeps piling up. Then as he's still trying to shovel more snow, he comments, they really should make competitive snow shoveling an event in the Winter Olympics. He continues again, oh brother, another 15 minutes of this and I'm calling it quits. In the final frame, we are inside the living room of Herb Woodley's house next door. Herb is at the window as he's watching Dagwood's efforts, while he's also drinking a cup of coffee. Tootsie, Herb's wife, enters the living room and approaches her husband as she asks, what are you smiling at? Herb looks at her. I don't think Dag realizes that he shoveled past our house and beyond. Mother Goose and Grim. Grim and Mother Goose are at a seafood restaurant, peering at a menu, when Grim remarks, this place is expensive. Grim then turns to whisper to her, even the lobster bibs are market price. Dustin. Ed, Dustin's dad, is at his work desk while talking with one of his colleagues seated in an easy chair. The colleague, the president of the Homeowners Association has vowed to fight if we don't settle. Ed replies, you should settle. He has more free time than you do. His colleague replies, how do you know that? Ed, he's president of the Homeowners Association. Implying that they do nothing. Sally Forth. The first frame shows a gray afternoon in the city. In fact, the text box reads, on a gray, wintry afternoon. A city skyline is shown, with trees in the foreground, but it is a gray and wintry day. The second frame depicts the exterior of a restaurant called Natalie's. Another text box reads, the mood is bright as two old friends meet for lunch. In the final frame, a woman with reddish hair is eating a salad while talking to Sally Forth. The woman, wait, why do we have to stress old? She's referring to the text box. Sally replies, I didn't say old. Did you use the word old? Who said that? Pearls before swine. Pig is talking to Goat at the counter, drinking a cup of tea. Pig, hi, Goat. How's your new exercise plan? Have you quit yet? Goat, hey, the word quit isn't even in my vocabulary. Rat appears while asking, I have a word like that. Goat, what? Rat, sharing. Goat, good to know. Rat, shoot, I said it. Mother Goose and Grim. Mother Goose is talking to a woman, and next to her, at her feet, are Grim and Ralph, as well as the other dog. Ralph is saying to Grim, have you noticed Mom clicks with everyone she meets? In the second frame, Grim whispers to Ralph, of course she does. Her dentures are loose. Meanwhile, Mother Goose is making sounds, click, click, click. Deflocked. Mamet, the sheep, is talking to Cobb, the tall dog. I have this new dating app for needy mama's boys called a codepender. He continues, you interview potential dates and then you rank them on their ability to mother you and fulfill your every need. Cobb answers, that's the most pathetic thing I have ever heard. Mamet shows Cobb his cell phone as he replies, Mom just gave you 0 stars. Pickles. Grandma is knitting on the sofa, while Grandpa is leaning over the top of the sofa. He remarks, remember those bunny slippers of yours that I kind of ruined? Grandma, yes. Grandpa, well, I've been feeling bad about it, and I know you love those slippers, so I bought you a new pair. With that, he hands her a box with the slippers inside. He announces, I looked really hard for bunny slippers, but this is the closest I could find. She pulls one out, and there's the face of a donkey on the slipper. She replies, donkey slippers? Grandpa, they have long ears like bunnies. Grandpa's in trouble. Rhymes with orange. One frame with a text box that reads, "The Household." In the frame, there's an elderly woman reading a book, dressed in a house dress in an easy chair. Meanwhile, a dog on the carpeting is holding a hoop, and a smaller dog is jumping through the hoop. On top of the bigger dog is a cat who's juggling balls. In the foreground is a fishbowl containing two fish jumping in and out of the water. The dog announces, "How do we get that gadget to call TikTok?" He's referring to the telephone. Macanudo. There are several characters in a parade, including a fellow with a cone hat and a bow tie. He's holding an umbrella that's broken, but there's a dog's head coming out of the top of the umbrella. The dog is sticking his tongue out, while yet another fellow in roller skates is jumping off the dog's tongue. And this character with the roller skates is wearing a crown. He looks like a Mardi Gras figure who is holding a balloon. There's also a tiny creature fishing, and on the end of his fishing line is a fish. Then the fish is holding a meerschaum pipe, from which produces a worm-like fellow wearing a boater hat and a scarf, announcing the word punchline. A second smaller frame features a man in glasses sitting in a chair reading a newspaper. The man remarks, "Ha, ha, ha, post humor. I hate it. I'm lost." Dilbert. Pointing to a profit graph that shows profit going up, Dilbert explains to the group, "In summary, if we execute our plan with great skill, we can expect a great outcome." In the second frame, the pointy-haired boss is sitting next to the CEO, who has a bald dome. The boss, "So you're saying we should execute the plan?" Dilbert, "No, I would only recommend that to a company with great skill." Baby Blues. In the first frame, the text reads, "Survival Tips, Mom Edition." Wanda is talking with her daughter, Zoe. "Wearing layers is the best way to stay warm on a chilly school day." The next frame includes text reading, "Survival Tips, Dad Edition." Daryl is helping Hammy, his son, with the child's school backpack while instructing, "Always sit by the sweatiest kid on the bus when it's cold." Garfield. Our favorite feline is hunched over a cup of coffee. He appears half asleep. In the second frame, he's thinking, "I'm in a bad mood." In the final frame, he's also thinking, "And its name is February." Mutz. Mooch the cat and Earl the dog are walking through the snow. Mooch, "Schmilly commissioned the great artist Too Loose to paint my portrait." Earl, "But he's an abstract expressionist." Mooch, "Yeah, she wanted someone to capture the real me." Hi and Lois. Hi walks into the kitchen with a bottle of wine. Lois is at the range stirring spaghetti. "Hi, would you like some wine with dinner?" Lois, "Or just having canned spaghetti." "Hi, that's why I think we need wine." Beetle Paley. Beetle is in the first frame when he hears someone off frame, "Patooey, patooey, patooey." In the second frame, he's standing next to the bunk of Private Zero, who is polishing boots. Beetle, "Zero, could you please spit and polish with shoe wax?" He took it literally, huh? Spit chain. Family Circus. Billy walks through the front door while holding a piece of musical sheet music and a book when he announces, "My piano teacher is very religious. She keeps closing her eyes and saying, 'Good Lord.'" Zitz. Sarah, Jeremy's girlfriend, approaches Jeremy himself. "Sarah, I know what I want to do this weekend." Jeremy replies, "What, Sarah?" "Sarah, let's dress up and go dancing." Jeremy, "That's a great idea." She gives him a big hug and exclaims, "Really?" Jeremy is thinking, except for the dressing up and dancing parts. Speed Bump. A man in jeans, a t-shirt, and stocking feet is asleep in a sofa. A cat is also sleeping on the arm of the sofa. On the other end of the sofa, a blanket and a pillow are on the sofa, but not used. Meanwhile, two women in the background are seemingly conspiratorial as one remarks to the other, "I got a throw blanket and a throw pillow to accent my throw cat and throw husband." Cornered. A man is on a stage at a lectern, while next to him is a projection machine. In back of him is a projection screen that reads, "Keeping up with technology." The man is talking to a full theater of people. Even I struggle with this one. Oh, I get it. That's old technology itself, what he's using. Okay, had to think about that for a minute. Non sequitur. Joe is seated at a counter next to his brother, Bob, who looks like President Dick Nixon. Bob is looking at his laptop. Joe, what are you doing, Bob? Bob replies, I'm just waiting for a system upgrade to install. Joe, taking a long time to load, eh? Bob, oh, it hasn't started yet. It's only as far as the agree or disagreed part of the licensing terms. Joe, so what are you waiting for? Bob answers, for the negotiate button to appear. Joe, is there ever an off switch to being a lawyer, Bob? Bob replies, not when legal ultimatums show up, Joe. Marmaduke. The big dog is sitting in the living room right in front of the next-door neighbor who's in the easy chair. Phil, Marmaduke's owner, is in the kitchen grabbing a couple of beers. Barbie, Phil's daughter, is standing next to the chair. The neighbor, who is nervous around Marmaduke anyway, explains, I've told all my dog stories, little kids' stories, and cat-chasing stories. What other stories does he like? Duplex. There's an empty frame, except for an unseen person off the bottom of the frame who is grunting. Grunks. In the next frame, we realize it's Eno Camino doing push-ups. He grunts, one. He heads back down, and in the final frame, he is still on the floor when he croaks, I don't recall seeing any rule book for push-ups stating you can't eat ice cream in between repetitions. Heart of the City. The little girl named Heart and her friend, Dean, are standing in a downpour next to a bus stop. Hart remarks, as if it's not already bad enough, we're being forced to go to school. We have to stand out in gross weather waiting for a ride to the place. Dean replies, I guess the good news is it can't get much worse. Those words are barely out of his mouth when a car flies by and engulfs both of them in a wall of water. Drabble. Wally, the wiener dog, is sitting up and Ralph is taking his photo. Smile, Wally. In the next frame, Wally is running past Honeybunch when she tells him to hold still, as she also is taking his photo. In the next frame, Patrick, one of the children, finds Wally in his doggy bed as he takes a snapshot. Patrick, say cheese. In the final frame, Wally is closing his eyes as he's thinking, oh, the paparazzi are so annoying. Paparazzi, that's pretty good. Ziggy. The little guy is sitting in a chair watching television. From the TV, we hear, and that's it for the doom. Now, here's our network meteorologist with today's gloom. Other coast. Sakura, the dog, is holding a poster that has a circular shape with a red needle in the center, pointing to various rules. A dog's moral compass. Do not eat another dog's food. It's okay to keep an eye on it. Maybe just sniff it. And then scarf it down and run. Blondie. Mr. Dithers is walking down the hallway at work, talking to Dagwood. Mr. Dithers, Cora is on my case again because I spent too much time at the office. Cora is his long-suffering wife, by the way. Dagwood, that's too bad, boss. Dagwood continues, maybe you should start working half days now. Mr. D, and then where would I go the other half of the day? Dustin. Our friend approaches an attractive young librarian that he met last week in the library. Dustin. I was here last week. I thought we hit it off. The librarian looks him up and down. So you came back to ask me out? But you wore the exact same clothes. Dustin smiles. I got the impression you liked my style. The librarian. I got the impression it was laundry day. Sally Forth. Alice and Sally meet for lunch. They are seated at a window table in a cafe. Alice, it's been ages since we've seen each other. Sally, add pandemic time and it feels more like epics. Alice, well, I'm just happy we could finally meet up. Sally, and I'm just happy for your new job as creative director. Alice leans back in her chair. So, straight to the heart of the matter. What I meant when I said I may have an opportunity for you, Sally said, no, I was being sincere. But now that you brought it up. Pearls before swine. Pig and Goat are standing on the edge of a cliff, looking at the beautiful scenery. Pig, hey, Goat, who's your very best friend in the whole wide world? Goat, I think that's sort of a question mostly used by children. As an adult, I don't really think that way. Pig, well, I prefer to stay in the kiddie pool of life. Goat shrugs. That's not a bad way to live, buddy. Pig, hey, do you eat the inside of an Oreo first? Mother Goose and Grim. Mother Goose is having her hair done at the salon. She's wearing a smock and sitting underneath the hairdryer. Her friend is sitting under the hairdryer next to her. Do you think you'll ever get married, Miss Goose? Mother Goose, not really. I already have a cat who stays out all night and a dog who breaks things during the day. What do I need a husband for? Deflocked. Mammoth the sheep approaches Cobb the tall dog, who's drinking a cup of coffee. I'm trying out this new health trend called intermittent fasting. See, you only eat within an 8-hour window, and then you don't eat for the next 16 hours. Mammoth moves to the kitchen table, where he begins shoveling as much food as he can eat into his mouth. Chicken drumsticks are flying in the air next to stray French fries and chicken nuggets. Cobb observes this scene in disgust. He looks at his watch. Shouldn't this be the fasting period? Mammoth yells out as he continues gorging himself. Shut up, I'm time traveling. Pickles. Grandma is holding up one of the new house slippers that her husband bought for her. The front end of the slipper is in the shape of a donkey head. Grandma, I appreciate the thought, Earl, but I am not wearing donkey slippers. So you can just take them back wherever you bought them. She starts to leave the room. I ordered new bunny slippers for myself online. The two of them walk over to the table where the laptop is. Muffin, their cat, is standing up in the chair typing on the keyboard. Grandpa, aha, I see. And now Muffin is signing up for a kiddie spa day. Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, the desk. A daisy and a rose are peering out over the top of the vase that they are sitting in. The vase is sitting on a desk. On the desk next to them is an open book where a dried up, faded rose is laying on the open page. The leaves are all crinkled. The daisy looks at the flower laying on the book and turns to the rose next to her. Let's not ask her how War and Peace was. We don't want to press her. Get it? Press her. It's a really thick book. Okay. They can't all be great. Macanudo. Henrietta is wearing her blue dress while sitting on a large rock at the edge of the river. Her black cat, Fellini, is sleeping soundly next to her in the grass. Henrietta is holding up her finger where an ant is crawling on it. Henrietta, hi there, little ant. Above this tranquil scene is a quote. This is an interesting planet. It deserves all the attention you can give it. It's a quote from Marilyn Robinson. Gilbert. The pointy-haired boss is sitting next to Dilbert at the conference table. He's looking over a report Dilbert has given him. I'm confused by your analysis of the plan. You say it will succeed if we execute the plan with great skill, yet you're recommending we not try. The boss looks up at Dilbert. What am I missing? Dilbert replies, skill. Baby Blues. The text box reads, Survival Tips, Mom Edition. Wanda is standing at the kitchen sink talking to Zoe. As she adjusts the faucets, she explains, the more you know how things work, the easier it is to repair them. In the next frame, the text box reads, Survival Tips, Dad Edition. Daryl is talking to Hammy as he is preparing the swing set out in the backyard. He is wrapping a broken metal handle to the frame with tape. Dad, never run out of duct tape. That's actually good advice, I think. Garfield. Our friendly feline is snuggled warmly in his cat bed, awakened by the cell phone sitting on the floor next to him. Beetle, beetle, beetle. Garfield answers the phone and hears a loud bird chirping sound. He narrows his eyes and hollers into the phone, stop calling me. In the final frame, after he has hung up the phone, he has pulled the covers up over his head and thinks to himself, stupid early bird. Mutts. Mooch the cat is sitting on a stool posing for an artist. The artist is across from him, standing in front of his easel with a large blank canvas in front of him. The artist has a long, pointy beard, an extremely large mustache, while wearing a beret and dark glasses. Artist, now, pussycat, for your portrait sitting, just act natural. The cat stares at him with wide eyes. In the final frame, the cat is sleeping soundly, lying across the top of the blank canvas. The artist just looks on, surprised. Hi, I'm Lois. Mr. Thurston, the neighbor, is standing in front of Mr. Fufram, his boss, in the boss's office. The nameplate on the boss's desk reads, Fufram. The boss glares at Thurston. You're late again, Thurston. Thurston is wearing an open collar and ruffled tie. That's the story of my life, sir. In nursery school, I was voted most tardy. Beetle Bailey. Beetle's in the mess hall, helping the cook, Cookie Jowls. He's taking a garbage can to the dumpster. He turns to the cook. Hey, what's your real first name? The cook turns. Cornelius. Don't ever call me Corny. The cook goes back to minding his pots on the stove. Beetle, as he exits the kitchen. I'll stick with Cookie. You've been listening to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This has been brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Have a great week. Take care.
More than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
Only rarely can we pinpoint exactly when and where a new word was created or an old word got a new meaning. This word is bug, as an insect, and it dates back to the early 1600s. But on September 9, 1947, U.S. Navy Reservist Grace Hopper was working on a Mark II Aiken relay computer at the Navy Engineering Lab at Harvard University. Until it stopped working, that is. She and her teammates spent hours examining the 25 tons of circuits, wires, panels, boards, switches, and lights spread over a 4,000 square foot machine. Eventually, they found a bug in the system, and it was a real bug, a moth. She taped the dead moth to the logbook, noting that it had been found trapped between two specific points at relay number 70 on panel F of the gargantuan computer. Back in 1878, in a letter to a friend, Thomas Edison had written that there were bugs in his phone system, real bugs, insects, but he never bothered saving one. Ms. Hopper's bug, the first actual computer bug, is more than saved. It is on display at the Smithsonian Museum.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethe Ward's had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beeches green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance, and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget, what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of Poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards already with thee. tender as the night, and haply the Queen Moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays, but here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild. White hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast-fading violets covered up in leaves. And mid May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many a mused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy. Still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain, to thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn, the same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now it is buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision, or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Read by me, Nikki Whichello. Thanks for listening.
This is Bird Note. I'm Dara Miles Wilson, and I'm a birder and naturalist from Maryland. A decent pair of binoculars can considerably enhance your enjoyment of birds. Since binoculars are an important tool for bird watching, here is a crash course on how to use them. If you're picking up your binoculars for the first time, adjust your set to ensure the distance between the two barrels lines up with your eyes. The goal is to get a uniform, circular image when looking through the lenses. If you wear glasses, roll the eye cups down for more comfortable viewing. Next, find the diopter adjustment knob located on one of the barrels close to the eyepiece. It's usually near the right eye cup. Fine-tuning the diopter helps compensate for the differences between your eyes. Finally, adjust the thumb wheel, also called a focus wheel, in the center of your binoculars. Turning the wheel one way brings closer objects into focus. Going the other way focuses on distant objects. A professional trick is to look at the object with the naked eye first, then bring the binoculars up to your eyes instead of scanning for objects through the binoculars. Now you're ready to watch the wildlife. This week is Black Birders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag Black Birders Week on social media and visit birdnote.org.
Hello, listeners. Would you like to hear news from Holden, Paxton, Princeton, Rutland, and Sterling that you're not likely to hear on commercial television and radio? tune in to Audio Journal every Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.